This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, May 16th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, the debate over climate change and our weather and what it does to the economic climate. And we'll have a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, a look at today's news. Today, bars and clubs in Champaign are free to allow smoking. The Champaign City Council voted 5-4 last night to repeal the ban on smoking in liquor establishments, which had taken effect 3.5 months ago. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
Mayor Jerry Schweihart promised to bring up a repeal of the smoking ban after last month's election changed the balance of power on the Champaign City Council. Schweihart says the ban has hurt local bars and threatened employees' jobs. One bar owner, John Bristow of the Office 2, told the council that's why he wants repeal.
My business was down 23.5% the last 3 months due to the smoking ban, plain and simple. All we've ever asked for is a choice for our patrons.
Scott Hayes, whose Champaign County Smoke-Free Alliance led the campaign for the ban, said that argument simply shows the dangers of tobacco.
If 20% of their business is losing because they change one variable in their establishment, the elimination of tobacco, what does that say about the addictive power of tobacco?
The repeal is only expected to last until January 1st, the starting date for statewide smoking ban legislation that Governor Blagojevich has said he'll probably sign. Supporters of repeal say that even a few months of freedom to smoke in bars is better than none. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Owners of some downtown Champaign bars have said they plan to keep the smoking ban in place because their customers prefer it. Meanwhile, a smoking ban for bars continues in Urbana. School buildings in the Paxton-Buckley-Lotus School District are on lockdown while school officials deal with what they call a potential threat against students. The lockdown started Tuesday at Paxton-Buckley-Lotus High School and Junior High School, which are located near each other in Paxton. Superintendent Cliff McClure says that action was taken after the high school received the threat. A letter from McClure on the district's website gives no details about what sort of threat was received, but the superintendent says police are investigating the incident and that students and staff members at the high school and junior high were searched before dismissal yesterday. He says students at both schools will be searched prior to returning to class this morning, and he promises a strong police presence on campus before, during, and after school. In addition, McClure says Ford County Crime Stoppers is offering up to $1,000 for information regarding the incident. Parkland College has accepted the resignation of President Robert Exley, ending days of speculation that he would step down. He was hired last spring, but worked only about a year of a 3-year contract amid health and family issues. Exley suffered a heart attack last November and underwent bypass surgery. His father died a short time later. Board of Trustees Chairman James Ayers says the board and Exley had discussed the possibility of him resigning for several weeks, but at no time was he asked to quit. Ayers says they'll take their time in the search for a new president.
I think we want to have as much community input, the opportunity to evaluate our situation. I don't think we're in any rush to do something. So I think we want to have full opportunity to have as much information about what we do next, which includes interim presidents, includes search processes, all of those kinds of things.
A special meeting has been scheduled for next Wednesday to begin that process. Ayers says Parkland accomplished a lot while Exley was in office, including the startup of a global campus and the purchase of the old Kay's Merchandise Building on Mattis Avenue to expand healthcare facilities. Deere CEO Robert Lane says the Moline-based farm equipment maker is in a good position to benefit from global economic trends, such as increasing demand for food and the rising use of biofuels. Deere today posted better-than-expected second-quarter profits and a 5% increase in revenue. Illinois voters will likely head to the polls about 6 weeks earlier, starting with next year's primary. The Illinois Senate advanced a plan to move the primary date from March to February 5th. The change is expected to provide a boost to U.S. Senator Barack Obama's presidential bid, allowing him to score a victory in his home state earlier in the nominating process. Lake County Democrat Terry Link says it's also about giving Illinois voters the opportunity to influence the process rather than letting other states decide the nominees.
Instead of sitting back and waiting and it having been decided for us, and hear the statement that we hear for the last I don't know how many years, which of the lesser of two evils are we going to vote for? This time, we can decide.
Opponents argue the change will lead to longer and more expensive campaigns. Others say it will give current elected officials the upper hand. They say the shorter period between filing for office and Election Day will make it more difficult for a challenger to build up name recognition and defeat an incumbent. The measure now moves to the governor's desk. Democrat Rod Blagojevich says he'll sign it. 16 cities around the world, including Chicago, could get a green makeover under a program spearheaded by former President Bill Clinton's foundation. The program funds the renovation of city-owned buildings with green technology. Bill Clinton plans to announce the partnership today as part of an international climate summit he's hosting this week in New York City. Major global banking institutions have committed $1 billion to finance the upgrades of municipal buildings in participating cities, which include New York, Chicago, Houston, Toronto, Mexico City, London, Berlin, and Tokyo. Cities will get the green technology at no cost. The program assumes that cities already have money for building operations. Today is the 95th birthday of Pulitzer Prize-winning writer Studs Terkel. The longtime publisher of Terkel's books will mark the day with a party in Chicago and is inviting bookstores around the country to host their own events. Terkel's memoir, Touch and Go, will be released in November. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bosser. Businesses are beginning to talk about climate change in different terms. Instead of debating whether humans are causing it, there's a lot more talk about what climate change might mean to the business climate. Lester Graham reports there are questions about what might happen to affect business as global temperatures and weather patterns change.
For the last couple of decades, the people who've been arguing that we have to do something to reduce the greenhouse emissions causing global warming avoided one subject.
People did not want to talk about adaptation or coping with climate change because that was seen as a cop-out.
That's Rosina Bierbaum. She was a science advisor during the Clinton administration and is now dean of the School of Natural Resources and Environment at the University of Michigan. The fear was if you could figure out a way to cope with global warming, you wouldn't do anything to reduce the emissions causing it. But Bierbaum says with the consensus among the majority of the scientists in the world that global warming is happening and humans are contributing, the point has been made. Time to move on.
It's only really been, I would say, in the last 2 years that the science has become so clear that the changes are occurring so fast, and we're seeing them already, that society is realizing we've got to cope with those changes now, and there are more in store for us.
Actually, Bierbaum thinks we're really kind of behind in thinking about the consequences of global warming. It's not just the polar ice caps melting and the rising sea levels. There are a lot of everyday sort of things that will likely change. For instance, what kind of plants should you put in your home landscaping? Will the tree that you plant today survive in the changing climate? How flexible is your business if the climate changes weather patterns? Thomas Carl is the director of the National Climatic Data Center at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. He says people have to start thinking about things like that. And Carl says it's not just higher temperatures, but sudden dramatic changes such as maybe no snow in the northern states for a couple of years at a time, or dry spells that could make rivers so low that barges can't travel up and down them.
What really has important impacts are the extreme events. I think the questions being asked along these lines are, how vulnerable am I to these episodic conditions, and what do we need to do to prepare ourselves for, you know, the possibility that things may not change gradually, but could be quite abrupt change.
Some of those extreme events are heavier storms. As Hurricane Katrina showed, that could affect a lot of things. For example, the oil industry is looking at its refineries in the Gulf of Mexico. With more and more intense hurricanes, could it be worth building refineries somewhere else? There's a lot at risk. Franklin Nutter is the president of the Reinsurance Association of America, the insurers of the insurance companies. He says with more forest fires in the West and unpredictability in agriculture and more violent storm surges on the coasts, all due to climate change, it's going to cost.
Someone has to pay for the repair and recovery. if the insurance mechanism is going to be the intermediary that translates those costs into people's premiums, then the answer is insurance premiums are going to have to match those.
And that means we're all going to pay higher insurance costs because some people and businesses are going to ignore or miscalculate how climate change is going to affect them.
The Association of British Insurers did a study looking at just the effect of climate change on insurability, and held steady population growth, property values, all of those things. And they concluded that you could see insurance premiums rise by 60% by mid-century just as a result of climate change.
That means if nothing changed, no inflation, no currency change, nothing except global warming, insurance rates go up 60% during the next 30 to 40 years. You're already seeing it. Some climate change experts say we can slow the impacts of global warming by reducing greenhouse gas emissions now, but we're already seeing change, and we will see more. There will be winters in the global climate change. Some growing seasons will be extended. Some areas will get more precipitation. But there will likely be a lot more losers as businesses and people either can't or won't adjust to the changing climate of their region. For the Environment Report, this is Lester Graham.
The Environment Report is a production of Michigan Radio. Support comes from the Joyce Foundation, the George Gund Foundation, and USDA's Cooperative Extension Service. Have something to say about the Environment Report? Send email to feedback@environmentreport.org.
In the forecast for the region today, intervals of clouds and sunshine. There's a slight chance of passing showers during the late afternoon. The high 67 degrees. We have winds from the northwest at 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy. A chance of a few showers. The low 44. And partly sunny tomorrow with a high of 65 degrees. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, May 16th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wiol.uiuc.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.